And I ain't hear no drop in a minute. No, I'm about my business.
Rapper's Guide Podcast, episode 54. This is your host, Diggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
And today we wanted to talk about signing a deal and what that means as an artist. The number that everyone talks about is that $1 million deal, right? That's what you hear everyone talking about, which one is extremely unrealistic. You have to be a huge, huge star before you even talk about getting $1 million. But let's just use that as the example. DJ Booth put out a really good, actually Z wrote the article, but they did a really good article on this and we just wanted to break it down. So I'm going to reference it. I don't want to sit here and just use the entire
word for word
as the premise of the episode, but we're definitely going to reference it and talk about what it means to actually sign a $1 million deal. All right. So you got popping on your own. You're an independent act, and now a label is seeing the steam rolling, and they want to come and grab you, right? So you get this $1 million deal, and what does that mean? What is a $1 million deal?
I mean, you got a $1 million loan, technically.
Right, so you got a $1 million advance, right? And an advance, in their terms, per Mark Tavern, is a prepayment of royalties. So what are royalties?
Mechanical, which you get from when you get your song stream. It can be a lot of things, but you know.
So it's the money mechanical that you bring in from your art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Essentially, right? So if they're prepaying your money that you bring in for your art, right? They're assuming that you're going to make this money back. So I used an example earlier. Imagine you go for a job interview and they know that this job typically pays out $50,000 for the year. So instead of you getting biweekly payments or monthly payments or whatever it is, right? They say, we're just going to give you the $50,000. And now it's on you to budget that $50,000 properly, right? Would you take that?
I would.
You would?
Oh, for like a regular job?
If a regular job said, I'm going to give you $50,000, you have to work here for a year, but I'm going to give you the $50,000. And we're not going to pay you biweekly. We're not going to pay you weekly. We're just going to outright give you the $50,000.
In a regular job, no, I wouldn't take that. Actually, now I'm thinking about it.
The reason why I wouldn't take it is because, one, I don't trust myself with $50,000.
I don't trust myself with $50,000.
Like, I might just bet it all on the house. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, just be like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be a huge star. But the reason why it's scary as an artist is because a lot of us haven't dealt with that much money.
That's a fact.
Right? And dealing with that much money might force you to go and do something stupid, such as buy a car, buy a house, buy the things that you don't need, because now you have access to all this money that you've never had before.
That's a fact.
And you're going to go ahead and spend it on things that you might think are in your budget. For instance, if a house costs $500,000, right, and you just got $1 million loan from a label, you might think, I can afford this.
Definitely can.
And that's if you have never seen money like that before. Because I'll tell you this, when you make a decent salary, you know that a decent salary doesn't really equate to that much.
Yeah, never.
Like, what's a decent salary over here? Like 70 grand, 80 grand?
Mm-hmm.
That's like a decent salary, right? That's nothing.
Nothing at all.
Because I was making that salary and it feels like you're still living paycheck to paycheck sometimes.
Yeah, you still get like a $200,000 house.
Yeah, you ain't gonna find it. And when that rent comes around, it still hurts your pocket, right?
That's something like I also, just from what you were just talking about, right? Like, this is like the only industry where some shit like that really happens. We're like, yo, we're just going to give you a whole bunch of fucking money here all at one point. And it's like, it's up to you to be able to leverage this shit out and figure out what to do with this money. If you do that at a regular job, you give me $50,000 to do my job now, I'm probably going to quit. And then number two, it's just like, it's so much better for them to give me my money biweekly.
This is where what I will say. I think that there are, like, the sports industry gives you a bunch of money, right? But it's based on results, and it's not based on, like, imagine the sports industry said, we're going to sign you for, like, for baseball, right? We're going to sign you for $250 million for 10 years, right? But we expect the revenue now to be $25 million a year for 10 years in order for that money to be
given to you. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would be the same thing. Like, yo, in sports, all you have to do is perform. And even if you don't perform,
you still get
in
paid.
Baseball, you still get paid.
You get money.
With music, if I give you $1 million, I'm expecting you to make me back that $1 million. And if you don't, you're not going to make the money from your music until that's given back. Regardless, you're not going to make the money until it's given back. Those advanced payments of or prepayments of your royalties are expecting you to recoup entirely, and then our deal goes into effect,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. So signing a $1 million deal, how much of that money actually goes in your pocket, right? So this article did a really good job at breaking down who you might potentially have to pay out and what the payout would be, right? So in this article, they say upon signing, a business manager or accountant will typically take 2.5% or $25,000. So that's $25,000 already given away to an accountant, right? And that's a smart decision because you need someone who is going to basically dictate where the money is going to be placed and how you could budget properly.
Manage that money.
Okay. An entertainment attorney, the person actually doing the deal for you.
Which we say is so important.
It's very important. They're going to take 5%, right? And these are all just rough numbers. This isn't like guaranteed. Like you might negotiate something better or worse mm-hmm. with a lawyer.
More likely worse, though. Be careful.
But they might charge 5%. So that's $50,000. And then your manager, these are all people that are involved in the dealings, right? So your manager is going to take typically 15 to 20%. So $150,000 to $200,000. Everyone wants a manager, right? Everyone's out there going to grab a manager. Managers typically take 15 to 20.
Taking a nice slice of the pie.
So you get that $1 million deal. You're expected to pay that shit back, right? Your manager, on the other hand, that money is just in their pocket.
Just came up.
Right? Like, that's their salary.
Rightfully so, though.
From the rightfully way that they so. They're in, doing their job.
For the work that they put in, rightfully so.
But that money is theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Where they don't have to perform. You might fire them. But that 20% is theirs. That's negotiated.
That's in their pocket.
All right? So on the high end, using this $1 million advance as a starting point, an artist will typically spend $275,000 simply securing, negotiating, finalizing, and overseeing the record contract. That's before anything. This is just you sign the paper. Here's who I have to pay out before anything occurs.
As soon as you sign, I say walking out the door.
Right. Okay. Let's hit this one next. Next up is taxes. On the remaining $725,000, Uncle Sam will require a payment of $268,250, 37%. This is something that I don't think artists ever think about, is taxes.
A lot of people in the entertainment industry in the whole, but definitely artists within themselves.
People have no idea that you have to pay taxes. Like, yo, A lot of entrepreneurs out there are 1099 workers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means that you have to set aside 37%
on your
for
own.
Taxes for the government. And the IRS doesn't give a fuck. They're going to come after you. If you don't set that aside and you're trying to file taxes, you're going to have to pay those taxes,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's if you're trying to do tax deductibles and stuff like that. You have to pay out the taxes, right? You don't just gain from it. You know, if you have a job and you're running a business and you can counteract the two, then you'll get back money because they're probably overtaxing you. But if that is the job, then you have to pay out that a third of basically what you're doing. And it's even more than a third.
And when you think about so many artists that have come out saying, oh, I didn't know I had to pay taxes. I just got $1 million deal and I thought that was it. I thought I was up. I got the money. I'm here.
They see that $1 million number and they think that million goes directly to my pocket.
And then that's another thing as far as like the perception wise, when you are out here and you're seeing people sign these deals for whatever amounts of millions, they have to pay taxes. And I think a lot of people just go right over their heads, even though we do our taxes every year. Well, you should be doing your taxes every year. It just goes right over your head that once you sign a record deal, like, nah, I ought to pay taxes on that shit. And then even if you do know you got to pay taxes, it's like 37% of a million. It's like, oh shit, that's a lot of fucking money.
$268,000.
That's a lot of fucking money. That's a house we were just talking about you could buy right. over here.
That's just going directly to the government.
It's disgusting.
It's a single payment. Like, that's just going directly to
mm-hmm.
them. You know what I mean? All right, so your final net total after all of your business dealings are done and after taxes is $456,750.
So you won the $500,000 even though you started with a million.
Okay. Here's the best part. Now you're left with that $450K, right? How do you make $1 million back?
That's a deficit.
Streams aren't paying.
Nope.
Right? You're expected to now put that money toward your career and basically towards setting up yourself for success and recouping that $1 million. So now what you do with that money could affect everything, right? If you go and you buy a car, or you go and you buy a house, because these things are expenses that the label will accept because it's shelter, it's transportation. Mm-hmm. These things all have to do with your work, mm-hmm. right? And your livelihood. The label is essentially setting you up so that you can live and just focus on music. That's their goal, right? But that $450, you know that that's not that much money. You can't buy a house. You can't go and buy a house and then still have leftover money to do all the musical shit that you're trying to do. Building a studio, if you're an established artist and you want to get the best sound, like the industry quality sound, you're not running a Scarlett Solo nope. and a fucking $100 microphone.
You gotta really put that money out to get that nice setup.
Right? So say you spent 20 grand on you know, a solid studio. I'm talking about you soundproofed the walls. You did everything right. 20 grand is light. Some of these studios are $1 million studios. You know what I'm saying? So like you're talking about like 20 grand will get you a decent setup, but 20 grand is not fucking $1 million recording studio.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, you do all this renovations to your house. You lift the floors so that there's no bass running through the floors. You soundproof all the walls. What do you think that's running you?
A lot of money.
That's running you a lot of fucking money, right? And no one factors that in. So everyone's recording with those Chaotica eyeballs and stuff like that. And you can get decent sound. You get a Neumann U87. You're paying $3,000 for that mic, right? You want to run your shit through a 1073 with a Tube Tech. You might pay...
He's talking spicy right now, right?
But you might...
He's talking engineer spicy right now.
All right, so engineer spicy, you might pay a solid $10,000 just for those three pieces. And those are like industry standard pieces. Your preamp, your compressor, your microphone. Now you got cables. Now you want to get a new computer. Now you want to... Like all these things run up that money, right? So the funny part is that in all this budget talk we're talking about, you're not factoring in that you don't know when you're getting paid again.
Nope.
Everyone talks about the initial deal, right? You have this $1 million initial payment, but when are you getting that money back? How long is it going to take you to make that $1 million? And there's no deadline.
Sit there and ask yourself, how many artists have you heard over an interview say, after I seen that first check from the label, I never seen a check from them again? A lot of artists are saying it.
Well, a lot of artists probably didn't recoup.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, right. A lot of artists are saying it. Then I don't think a lot of people are understanding what they're exactly saying.
Because here's the thing. Until you recoup, you're not seeing any bread. There's no renegotiation of your deal. Like, you're signing this deal with the idea that you're going to eventually recoup the $1 million that they gave you. That's expected back, right? And until you do that, you can't renegotiate. You can't set a new deal in place. Because, yo, if you get that recouped, say you do it within 2 years, you get that money recouped, that's cool. But now that $450 that you initially had before you built the studio and did all this and that, that $450 has to be stretched across 2 years. And mm-hmm. some people might say, well, you know, some people get paid $100,000 a year and they live lovely. That's cool, right? But are those people building studios? Are those people transporting back and forth to all these different places? Who's paying for the bus to take you from tour spot to tour spot? Yeah, you make money at the tours, right? Mm-hmm. But you're spending a lot of money on the tours.
And even deeper than that, right? Once again, there's somebody else that's managing your money. Because, you know, a lot of people are like, probably going to bypass the, I don't need an accountant, I don't need this shit. Mm-hmm. Once again, the reason why a lot of us don't really go bankrupt or, you know, are able to better manage our money is because we usually get paid on a biweekly or a weekly basis. So it's being provided to us. Once again, that lump sum of money being provided to you at that one specific point, it's kind of like an example like this, right? If you win a lottery, you got two options. Either you're going to get this shit or by yearly or like a monthly installment, or they're going to give it to you all at one time with that big ass lump sum.
And the lump sum, they take out taxes.
Exactly. Majority of people are going to go for the lump sum. But then those are the people that have that fortune right then and there. You know, we hear this story all the time. People that win a lottery and then their fucking lives get fucked over and they destroy their lives because I don't know what to do with this lump sum of money. I think I could just spend frivolously. tax man got to get his. I still got to be able to manage my life and sustain. And from what we're, you know, showing on these videos and what the, these artists like show this lavish lifestyle, it makes you think that none of this shit even happens or none of this shit is real. But in all reality, it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, but that car that they're showing off in the video, like most of the time the car is rented.
It's so. Definitely rented, at least okay. or some shit like that. Yeah,
but if they bought that car and that car was $250,000 and they took that off the $450,000 that they had, right?
Bad
now
business.
They have $200,000 to last them for however long until they recoup that million.
Bad business.
So when you see these people doing that, chances are they're probably those high stature artists who can recoup pretty simply, but not in every case. Sometimes people just have horrible money management and they did not expect it to be a one-time payment.
I know we mentioned Drake so much on this fucking podcast, but a perfect example was him fucking renting out that fucking Phantom or whatever the fuck he was driving. And he was like, yo, like, we didn't have no fucking money, but we just had to keep the car for appearances. Mm-hmm. Like, the biggest artist right now in the world is signing in these fucking multi-million dollar deals, is letting you know. He ain't have it back then, but he had to put on this appearance of having it. And if that shit would have went left, if he went and became Drake, you're in a big-ass fucking hole, bro.
100%.
You know, at the end of the day, like, artists, all this artist shit aside, like, real-life shit, that shit still's going to sit with you. You're going to be stuck with that. Like, yeah. There's no getting out of that.
So now, in this article, they talk about what they would do if they had that money, and they point to the studio, right? Building a home studio so that you could do all your recording at home. What if you're not someone who knows how to mix and master your music? What if you're just solely an artist? You're just solely a musician, right?
I ship that shit out.
Okay, you ship it out. And at that point, you have the money to pay a mix by Ali, right? So you're paying $1,500 per mix. You're not paying, because if you want that solid sound, you're not going to a place that charges fucking $100 per mix. You're going to a place that charges $1,000 per mix.
If I bought $20,000 worth of studio equipment, I am not going to somebody that's charging me only $100 to mix my music.
And that's what I'm saying.
That's crazy.
Right. But the people that charge that extra.
There's a reason.
If you want that solid quality, you're paying someone like a Mix by Ali, and that's $1,500 for a record. Right. So all you people out there that think that mixes cost $50 or mixes cost $30, that's just not real. Like that's Fiverr. But the real music industry with these Grammy winning engineers that are actually going to get your music in front of other people, that costs.
You're going to pay a little something, son.
And it doesn't cost cheap. So if we're talking about setting up your music to succeed and having the greatest sound quality and you're setting up your studio to have the greatest sound quality, all of this costs a lot of money. And this is money that comes from that advance.
Mm-hmm.
There's no advance and then you get another payment from the label. The advance is the payment. I think people think it's a signing bonus. This is not a signing bonus. An advance is the money that you're getting from the label. And once you get that money, that's what it is.
Prepayment for them royalties that you're eventually going to make later on down the road.
Now, if you hire a decent financial advisor and you tell them, hey, I don't know when I'm going to get paid again. I need to recoup this. Typically, you're not going to be the first person who ever came to them with a situation like this.
Of course.
And typically, they're going to tell you exactly what can be spent and what can't be spent. That's a good person to have on your team because you need to know, I can go and have that steak dinner or I can't go and have that steak dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you when you're fucking up and when you're going to fuck up the money.
Because a lot of us in our personal lives, we know we're not supposed to eat that steak dinner, but I'm going to charge it on my credit card because you know next week you're going to get paid. 2 weeks, you're going
to
get paid.
Well, credit card is a great example, right? How easy is it to max a credit card out?
Oh, it's fucking easy as shit.
And usually it's like $6,000. Or that's if you have great credit. You'll get like a $6,000 limit. And it's easy to fucking swipe that six.
I'll let y'all know personally, I ran up $17,000 in debt one time. I paid it off, thank God. But I don't know how the fuck it happened. But I had a bunch of fucking credit cards. Swipe, 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 swipe. That's all it became. Just swipe.
Because it seems like free money at that point.
Exactly.
And the same thing happens with an advance. It seems like free money. But again, that is credit. That is a loan. Mm-hmm. You're given money based on the premise that you're going to pay it back. What is different between that and a credit card?
There's nothing at all.
And that's what I'm saying. The only difference is interest. Yeah. On a deal, you're not paying interest. They're expecting that money back. So there is a benefit to signing a deal rather than just taking out a business loan or a credit card. You know what I mean? Like, there is benefits to taking an advance. And that's why people aren't calling it the worst situation of all time, you know?
And then like an example, like, you know, how Benny the Butcher was this entire time was independent. And now people ask him, like, yo, why would you sign a deal? Why would you sign a deal? Well, it probably makes a lot of fucking sense for him, because if he was fronting a lot of the money initially, which is another reason why I think a lot of people do sign a deal. It's just like, if I understand what I'm able to build on my own and I have this amount of money just on my own, if I can get this amount of money and be able to put that same fucking work ethic and put that back into my career, I can substantially make so much more. And on top of that, it's not really hurting my pockets as much.
Well, you also have to understand that, like with a Benny the Butcher, when you have the sample size now in front of you and you know that the product is good, that's when you seek investment.
Yep.
Right? Like you see like The Social Network, that movie about Facebook, right? And you know, like they have all these kids logging in and making fucking accounts, and then they go for investors so that they can make this a global thing, right? But like the product was good.
Mm-hmm.
The person who's dishing the $250,000, I want to invest $250,000. I want to invest $10 million into this.
They're a little bit more comfortable because they
already know
is there.
That the product is good, right? So for Benny the Butcher, he already set it up so that the product is good. Here's the benefit for you at home who is just building your career up, right? They're not going to offer you the million if you're not a huge success like a Benny the Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Benny's deal was, but like a Benny the Butcher might get like a $3 million deal.
I think he did get $3
million. All right, cool. So say he gets $3 million, right? That's because he's already proven that he makes
that money, mm-hmm.
right? For an artist sitting at home who thinks that like the standard deal from the label is $1 million, that's just not true. A standard deal for a new artist who's not proven and maybe has a couple songs under their belt that did big numbers might be $150,000.
Even for the artists at home right now, like even if somebody was to like come out randomly, like, yo, I'm gonna give you a $10,000 deal like right now for all the music. And can you sit there and honestly say to yourself that you'll be able to recoup that $10,000?
Not with streaming.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like when you really sit there and think about it, you have to do a lot to recoup that even $10,000.
What I would do if I had a name and someone was willing to give me $10,000, I would do a lot of features and I would recoup it that way. I would set my feature price at $1,000 and I would do a bunch of features. That would be my way to recoup immediately. You know what I mean? Even if I set my feature price, and this is if you have a name and you already have a following and people know that they're investing in a potential fan base, right? If they get on a song with you, then you could set your feature price at a price that you can recoup in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
Right? And with a lot of artists, if you have that name and you want to recoup, that is another way to recoup, right? So like you were saying, Snoop Dogg charges $250,000
for $250,000 for like a verse or some shit, like the hook, something. It was something along those lines. It was big numbers.
And that's coming from the label, right? Or that's coming from the advance. So it doesn't feel like you're actually paying for the Snoop Dogg feature. It's not coming directly out of your pocket. You just got this money, you know, and it feels like it was gifted to you at that point. And these people who are doing a Snoop Dogg verse for $250,000, they might have gotten one of those big deals. And now they can afford to throw the $250,000, knowing that Snoop Dogg's name alone will bring in a whole bunch of people.
And even think about it. When it comes to like these artists and they be saying, like, I charge this and this amount for a verse. And you think that, oh, if I just pay this person this amount of money to get on this song, that's going to transcend me. And like, what if it doesn't? You just spent half your fucking budget or like half your fucking advance on this artist to get on this song. And it doesn't even take you. It doesn't basically recoup any of that money back. And now it's just like, all right, I got this song with this fire-ass artist, but what does it leave me now?
You have to be sure that that song is going to be a success.
Yeah.
And you can never be sure that it's going to be a success. But you can definitely set the song up for success. You definitely can get the right producer on the track that already has a buzz. You could definitely get the right artist that already has a buzz and set it up to be successful in whatever field you're going for, right? So if you want to make that summer banger, you could definitely set it up so that it's a successful song. And with the proper marketing and there's different tricks. You put a white girl in the video rapping along with the shit. You put models. we have all these things that if you look at all the most recent successful records and you look at the videos, like I was showing Bales a couple weeks ago that like Lay With You by Isaiah Rashad and then Baby Keem Records. And you look at all these different videos and you see these models rapping along with the words. And it's not just by chance that they're all doing that.
Eye candy goes a long way.
They know what they're doing. You know what I mean? These people are, it's not like they're just going out on a limb and they're like, oh, I think that this would be cool if I put some girls in my video. No, this works. This is a proven thing that works, right? So there are proven ways to actually get your song out there. There are little tips and tricks that you can figure out to actually get more people viewing your record or listening to your record. But you have to have smart people in your corner. And like before, we were talking about the breakdown of payment. You know, your manager might not be the manager that you're going to end up with after 10 years.
You might want to sound sponsored by somebody else.
You
know what I'm
saying? Like, yo, you find your friend and you guys do a deal where you get 80, he gets 20. And your friend doesn't know shit about the business and you just gave him 200 grand. You just paid 200 grand to someone who might not be equipped for the job. And that just has to, work. And no one's saying that it's definitely going to work. There's people who they pay off that 5% to their accountant or the 2.5% to their accountant and their accountant fucks them over.
They're stealing an entire time.
Steals money.
And have no fucking clue. Who got to pay that back? You?
So like we're talking about these standard numbers that you give out to these people, but we're not saying that these are people who are going to be right for the job. So all of this falls on you. You're the person, you're the CEO of this business, and you're the person who has to pick the right employees.
And like, I think one of the biggest things that, you know, that needs to be pointed at is like, everybody wants to be essentially like a boss and, you know, make these boss moves and, you know, be able to manage their money and do all these things of that nature. But it's like, I don't think a lot of people understand that being a boss sometimes really sucks. Because number one, and when it comes to this music shit, if you are the artist and you are the primary one that's getting, you know, all the money, you're going to get paid less. That's number one. You're going to get paid less. Like, once you sign that contract, already majority of your money's already off the top missing. Right. You're going to get paid less. And then when you also get paid less, now you got to factor in how you have to be able to pay for other people to get shit done for you. So now their livelihoods, in a sense, becomes more, I don't want to say more important, but you have to make sure that they're in a good position, because if not, you're not going to be able to be in a position that you need to be in.
Right.
So when it comes to being a boss, everybody wants to see the money. Like, I'm about to get all this money. I'm going to be flexing. I'm going to be throwing money this, that, and the third. But it's like, yo, you're the last person that should be doing any of that shit.
Okay. And now check this out. We didn't even talk. We talked about mixing services, right? What about the person that shoots your music videos?
Exactly.
Like, there's so many costs that factor in after the fact. You know, you could do only so much by yourself. You know, like, you can go out and buy a camera and you can maybe have one of your friends film it. Do you know how to edit videos? If not, you have to send that to a director or an editor, and that costs money.
It becomes very difficult.
And again, you're not factoring in the time frame that this will take for you to actually get this money back or to get a new deal in place. So all this money that you're throwing into visuals and all this money that you're throwing into mixing and studio gear and all this stuff, you don't know when you're going to get another payment. And that's why when I brought up the example earlier of taking the 50K from your job that they're offering rather than the biweekly payments, if you know that next year is when you have to last to, at least you have a time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, in 365 days, I will get paid another 50 grand. If I do my job right. But with an advance, there is no guarantee time. It's just when this is recouped, we will then restructure.
And that's what I always say, like, when it comes to me, like, thinking about, like, either signing a deal or just being able to do everything independently, it always becomes to, like, I know for a fact that my salary is ranged around, like, $50,000. And granted, that $50,000, when you contribute it to taxes, probably around, like, lower 40 somewhere, probably even
mid 35,
yeah, and shit, yeah, like that. You know what I'm saying? But I understand that for me personally, I know everybody lives a different life. Me personally, I don't need so much in my life, or I don't need like a lot of valuable possessions for me to be able to do certain shit. Mm-hmm. So like a person like me may have an easier way of transitioning and figuring out how to budget the money. I'm also a big person that comes to budgeting and trying to figure out money situations. If you're not one of those people, you're going to have a hard time understanding like, yo, I can't buy this chain. I can't buy this fucking car. I can't buy the keep buying these sneakers. I have to put money back into, you know, my music. And even though sometimes I know image sells, once again, you don't really know if that's really going to take you to where you need to be for you to get that recoupment. And now, once again, you're mad at the world because you're not getting any money in. You spent all your money. You're trying to figure out, how can I make this back? You got all this stress on your shoulders. When all, at the end of the day, it could have only easily been money management.
And like, when we talk about recouping and we say that touring goes toward recouping, right? You do structure a deal where you get a percentage of that money. So that mm-hmm. money does come back to you, but you also have to factor in, say the deal is 85-15, you gave 85 to the label, that goes toward the bill, right? But say you're getting 20 grand, only 85% of that goes toward the bill, right? So you have to do a bunch of shows where 85% of that's going toward the bill, 15% is coming back to you. Cool. That's sick. Until you realize that, like, now it's going to take longer to pay off the bill. You know what I mean? The less that they take, the more money you have to pay toward the bill. So you have to keep on doing shows and you have to keep on doing all these things. And basically, you have to work your ass off in order to get them their money back.
It's just like whenever you take a loan out and you paying $200 on that loan, but technically you're only paying like $95 because they're taking out the interest initially. Right. So it's like you have to be able to put more money in so the interest doesn't eat up with the $200 that you put in there constantly. You just can't put the minimum balance. You know what I'm saying? So it's really just a numbers game. It's really a money game. And everybody will always continue as you say it. It's really about your business, the business dealings that you're working with, the business dealings that you have people looking at, the people that you have around in your team. If you don't have those proper things in place, you're going to fucking go to a very bad place. And a lot of artists are in a bad place right now. And they're very vocal about being in a bad place. And once again, like we always say, it's like, there's a part of you that wants to sympathize because we're artists as well and we can understand how, you know, frustrating the business can be. But then it's just like on the accountability side of being like a regular human and understanding like what's really you're signing up for, I can't really feel too bad.
You also don't take a loan out at the bank and then turn around and be like, yo, fuck the bank. They're asking for the money back.
Yeah, you're trying to get their money back.
But you understand what the fucking deal is in place. In music, for some reason, people will sign a deal and then when the label tries to get the money back or the label like shelves them, because that's another thing. We're not even factoring in that you're not a priority.
Mm-hmm.
$1 million deal, you're probably a priority. But if you get one of those like $300,000 deals, $150,000, you're probably not a priority. So the label's not just putting you top shelf and fucking and pushing your shit, right? So it's like, that's even harder to get the money back. But with label deals, quite often you see artists talking about fuck the label, they're doing this and they're doing that, right? But it's like you signed that contract. And if you went to a bank and you took out a $20,000 loan, you're not mad at the bank that they're trying to get their money back. You understand what the fuck is going on. You might be mad, but you know that you signed that line.
So I think that even like kind of like, you know, it's a wild example probably, but like kind of like, you know, student loans. Because most people, like they sign up for the student loans and yeah, the fucking whole schooling system is fucked. But neither here nor there. You sign up for the loans, and then when you get out of school, you know, they hit you up 6 months later, like, yo, like, we need that payment. But in your mind, like, I'm not paying these motherfuckers back anything, which normally does happen. And then that interest starts fucking adding up, and mm-hmm. it just starts building up, and it becomes a bigger and bigger monster, where it's like, now we have this issue where, like, who's going to be able to pay for all this shit? But it's similar. It's kind of the same thing.
It is the same thing, because when you sign a deal, like, a lot of these kids are signing deals, and they're young. And, like, when you're 18 and you sign up for student loans, you don't know what the fuck it feels like to have to pay $600
that shit's not month. Even nowhere in your brain. Like, you don't even factor that in. Like,
you just got out of high school. You don't even know what $600 is. And you're not getting a job directly out of college unless you went for the right thing and you just made all the right decisions, which at 18 is difficult to expect someone to make all the right decisions. So a lot of these kids that are signing deals are signing terrible deals for themselves because they don't even know what it feels like to have to pay that money back.
And the perception is, once I graduate, or, you know, once I get put on,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be able to pay this shit back easily. Right. Money, this is how money comes. It's just, it's fast, look, it's quick,
you
look like at that.
This. You say, all right, I owe $24,000 to the student loans, right? But my job is going to pay me $50,000.
You don't realize, like, yeah.
You don't realize that taxes exist. You don't realize that, like, you have to pay for food, your car, your home. You have to pay for all these different things. So that $50,000 that you got from your job, that doesn't pay back the 24 in a year. It doesn't pay it back in 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Even
if it does, you got to sacrifice a lot.
Your life.
Trust me, I did it. You got to sacrifice a fucking lot.
Yeah.
And that shit.
It's all time and energy.
That shit, it drains the fuck out of you.
Wow, this was a fucking very ominous and dark episode.
No, I think it's always just, let's be realistic here. And from us being realistic, let's find a common ground where we can be able to build something from that, from the ashes that's being, you know, thrown all over the place.
We're just trying to open your eyes to the reality of the industry and actually like letting you know that this shit is real. And there are situations that even if you think of it as like, this is the goal, we got to the goal. We always say like, the business starts when you sign that deal. The business starts when you get that big money injection, right? So like, you have to know that that's not the end goal. And you have to know that this requires budgeting and this requires a proper team. So like, yo, you at home right now who is young and you're just getting started and you're excited, now is the time to start understanding who you need to put in place. And it can't be your friends. Again, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, we talk about this all the time. Everyone wants to make their friend their manager. But when we're talking big money like this, you understand how insane it is to put your friend as your manager and give them 200 grand when they have no experience in the business.
It just doesn't add up.
You know, so we just want to open your eyes with this episode. We wanted to let you guys know that shit is real. And we want, obviously, we want you guys to be extremely successful.
Mm-hmm.
But we want you to know that it's not a game. And if you're going to be successful in this industry, you have to go in with a clear mind and you have to know exactly what you're doing.
And, you know, once again, if you didn't go back to the last episode and just kind of see how these two episodes like kind of coincide with each other and like what it really means. Like, yes, it's like kind of a sense, like a bare minimum to get over a lot of artists, but then there's a whole fucking gray area, a whole middle portion where it's like to get to that next level to where I'm being able to recoup $1 million, $500,000. There's a whole fucking gray area right there that you got to be able to figure out.
All right, you good?
Yeah, I'm good. Got my shit off.
All right, guys. Rappers Got Podcast. We're signing out. This is Diggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
Peace out, guys.